You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
Anyway, we're going to finish our series. Stop, Start, and Continue. This is the last week. We talked about hearing the voice of God and areas of our life that where he might say, stop something, and continue something. So, last week talked about how do you actually know that God's speaking to you and it's not just indigestion. So we talked about that. We call that confirmation. Number one is, God's voice will never contradict God's word. Never. When he speaks to you. Secondly, godly counsel will agree. And by godly counsel, we mean somebody who knows God well, who knows the Bible well, and most importantly, who knows you well. So they can speak into your life and say, yeah, I agree with that, or no, maybe you missed something. And then thirdly, you have to come to a place of peace. And I didn't get a chance to do this last week, but I thought it'd be fun to take maybe a decision. It's the biggest decision in life. And let's go through the process together. I'll walk us through it. Maybe you can help me out a little bit. And you might be going, I'm not going to tell you my big decision. You can say, I know a guy who, and that's okay because I've heard that so many times in counseling. So anybody have, like, what's a big decision you need to hear God's voice on? Finances. Job? Marriage? That's a good one. I won't tell you like that. I'll do that one, right? That's not a plan. I wanted to wait till I got to that one. I mean, we can talk about finances, looking at God's word. We have a financial class that's going on next door. Marriage is a good one. So if somebody comes to me and says, should I marry this person? And we look to the scriptures. What do the scriptures say? One of the things the scripture says is, do not be unequally yoked with another person. And what that means is, if you're a follower of Jesus, you should be marrying another follower of Jesus. You're equally yoked, and not marry somebody who's not following Jesus. So if you came to me, and that would be my first question, well, does that line up with Scripture? Does this person line up with Scripture? And if not, then we know it's not God's voice. And I'm going to even take this a step further with people, because I've had people come, and let's say you have a 1 to a 10 in your spiritual journey, your walk, and you're an 8, and you're trying to marry a 2. Even that's difficult. That would be my godly counsel. That'd be the next thing. And 8 and a 2 is difficult because usually, I've always found this to be true, the lowest common denominator usually wins. Or at least the 8 and the 2 make a 4. Very seldom does the 2 go up to an 8. It happens, but that's like for every one of those, I can tell you 15 that don't. So I would say not only that, are they close in the spiritual walk with you or maturity with you? That'd be a big question. So that'd be my godly counsel to you when you come to me and said, hey, they are a believer, but where are they at with their walk? How are you guys personality-wise? I know you well. Let's talk about this person, godly counsel. When I married Judy, the pastor of the church that I was serving on, he said, this is the best thing you did for your life and your ministry, because my wife is the most humble, serving, just most level person you'll ever meet, just a heart of a servant. I'm all over the place. And if I'd have married another person all over the place, it would have been chaos, right? So this was a perfect, and if you don't know this, I wouldn't say Judy pulls the strings around here, but she keeps me sane. So she is the driving force in our church because she's just that way. If you don't know her, she's amazing. So when he said to me, godly counsel says this, she's good for you. She's a really good choice for you. I know you. I've seen her. I think this is good godly counsel. And then finally, God gave me peace. God gave me peace right off the bat. Ooh, that's the right one. So God gives you peace and says, yeah, this is the right choice. So if we were to process all our big decisions through, is it fit in with God's word? Is there somebody who knows me well, godly counsel, that can really speak in the situation? And finally, do I have a peace about that? And that's how we determine if we're really hearing God's voice. Today, I want to talk to you about our last stop on this journey is the stewardship of God's voice. The stewardship of God's voice. And stewardship's a unique word to be using when you're talking about hearing the voice of God. Here's a definition. Stewardship is the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. And some synonyms are protection, supervise, guard, or cherish. We know this word because of finances. We believe that God has entrusted to us our living, our finances, the money that we get. If you were going to be in our class that we're finishing up over here, we would tell you, you've been entrusted by God with these finances. What are you going to do with it? Well, we know that if God gave to it, we need to use part of that money for the kingdom of God or for the advancement to help the betterment of mankind or people. So there's a portion. I call it a tithe, a percentage that I set aside every month. Say, God, you gave this money. I'm going to give it back to you in some form to help other people because you've entrusted to me. I'm going to save. I'm going to save for my future, for my family. I'm going to live within my budget. I'm going to steward the finances that you have given me very well. And the scripture says that whoever sows or gives sparingly will reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will reap generously. So the scripture talks about the stewardship. We also talk about talents or the gifts that you've been given. The parable of the talents is that a man went away and he gave five coins to one person, five gold coins, two to another, and one to another. I've been drinking too many good juices in the morning. I got a new juicer for Christmas. I got to start eating bacon again. that would help, right? So maybe I put bacon in the juicer. Now we're talking. No. Sorry, where was I? Stewardship of talents, five, two, and one. And the man goes away and he comes back and he asks the guy with five coins, what did you do with it? He said, I invested it and I got you five more. He goes, good job. He says to the guy with two, what'd you do with it? I invested, I got two more, good job. Says to the last one, what'd you do with the one? I hid it, I was afraid, I didn't do anything with it. And he takes the one away and gives it to the one with five. Why? Because he didn't steward the talents that he was given well by God. And so the concept is this, that each of us have gifts, each of us have talents, and God expects us to take those gifts and those talents and to use it in this world to help other people, to spread his gospel. And if we don't do that well, the scripture says, it's been removed. So we understand stewardship and finances and talents. But this same principle, and I'm going to show you this today, applies to hearing the voice of God, to hearing what God is speaking to you. So we're going to talk about a famous parable that's always used about salvation. It's found in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. We're going to look at Mark 4 and Luke 8, so you can turn either places, but we're going to take a little bit from each of those. It's the parable of the sower. If you know this parable, Jesus is talking about a farmer and he's going out and he's spreading seed on the ground. And it says some of the seed falls along the path, and the seed that falls on the path, the birds come and they eat. And then the second seed falls in the rocky soil, and because it doesn't have much depth, it starts to grow, but the sun comes out and burns up the plants. The third seed falls amongst weeds and it grows up with the weeds, but the weeds choke it out. And then the fourth seed falls on good soil and it produces a crop of 30 times, 60 times, and 100 times. Everybody's confused by this or not understanding exactly what Jesus is talking about. And so the disciples ask him about it and he explains it. I want to look at Luke's version of the explanation, chapter 8 of Luke. Luke 8, verse 11. We're going to start there. Now, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Now, understand that the scriptures as we know it was not written at that time. They had the Pentateuch, the five books of the Old Testament, but they did not have the scriptures as we know it today. So when it says the word of God, the parable of the seed is the word of God's being spread. It means the words of God. Jesus is called the word of God is being spread. The voice of God at that time, God himself, Jesus, was speaking out. And so he says the words of God, right? Those along the path are the ones who hear what I'm speaking, and Jesus talking, and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the words that I'm speaking with joy, and when they hear it, but they have no root, they believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear the words that I'm speaking, and that is being the word of God. But as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil, listen to this, stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, hear the words that I'm speaking, who hear my voice, right? They retain it, and by preserving it, produce a crop. So the ones that are productive are the ones that are hearing what I'm speaking. They take this and they retain it and they preserve it so that they produce a good crop. We'll come back to that in a second. Now, here's what I think is interesting as I was studying this. Both these stories in Luke and Mark immediately are followed by another story that we always separate. I don't think the stories are supposed to be separated. So I'm going to show you Mark chapter 4, the story that comes both on Luke and Mark's version. He said to them, and this is all in the same conversation, "Do you bring a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone, what, has ears to hear, let them hear what I'm speaking." And he's saying, he's talking about the seed and it being planted and the good soil. And he said, revelation, things that are in the dark, things that people don't know, parables that you don't understand, are meant to be brought out into the light. And when you bring revelation or what I'm speaking to you into the light, don't take it and put it under a cup or a bowl. It's never meant to be done that way. If you have ears to hear what I'm speaking, listen to what I'm speaking to you, my words to you. Here's the interesting part. Consider carefully. And can I put in here, steward carefully. Steward well what you hear. The words that you're hearing, steward them well. Consider them carefully. And he continued this. With the measure you use, in other words, with the measure by which you steward the words that I'm speaking to you, the things that you hear, it will be measured back to you. And even more. You say, wouldn't you want to hear the voice of God more in your life? This scripture is always used sort of for finances. This scripture right here is not used for finances. It's hearing for, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider what you're hearing. Because when you're hearing it, how you do with what you're hearing will be measured back to you. And not only that, even more. And people say, you have to hear God's voice for making decisions for the church and buying properties. And the reason I think that I hear God's voice most of the time well now is because when we started with 45 people, I listened back then really well and I obeyed what I heard. And so when we started the church, we tithed 10% off everything that was coming in. When you're trying to raise money for a new church plant, giving money away is not the best thing to do. You know what I mean? In fact, I had other pastors tell me, you don't have to do that. The money's already been tithed on. You don't have to tithe again. But God spoke to me, said, give 10% away. And we gave it to other church plants out here. Right? I made a decision, small decisions when we were 45 people, not knowing that that would set up a place in my life that I would be hearing God for a million-dollar decision when we bought this property, right? But I steward well what I heard the first time, and then because of that, God speaks more. Now, here's the other part. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, who does not steward well, even that will be taken from them. And see, this is talking about hearing God's voice and the words that he speaks. There was this... I have an illustration. When I first came to faith in Christ, I was told, you got to tell people about Jesus, because if you don't tell that person, they're going to go to hell because you didn't tell them. And like, it was on me if I didn't speak the word. So there's this pressure that everywhere I went, I had to tell something about Jesus. And you know how warped I can get in my thinking. So I'm like thinking this whole thing through one day. And I can't even fathom that one day I'm in heaven, I'm at the banquet feast, you know, chewing out, eating out some good foods. Some people are sitting around me. And this guy shows up and says, hey, is my name on the list? And St. Peter's sort of going through the list. And, you know, he's just like checking the whole thing. Goes, man, I don't have you here. You're not on the list. He goes, it's not fair. I never heard. I didn't know. Nobody told me the truth. And he goes, well, let me check. Oh, yeah, 1993. Lloyd was supposed to tell you. He forgot. Sorry about that. Good luck with eternity with you. You know what I mean? You know, like, and I'm over there going, don't you know that guy? I go, I was supposed to invite him to church. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, that's tough. Can you pass the chicken wings? And so, you know, I mean, that's the way I think, right? That like, for some reason, this guy is sent to eternal damnation because I was the one that didn't speak that. How many know that that's not true? That God will go over and over and over again. And if I won't tell him, he'll find somebody who will. Yeah? Because there's no shadow that he won't light up. And there's no mountain he won't climb up coming after you. And no wall that he won't kick down and no lie that he won't tear down. That he will be overwhelming and relentlessly until he speaks to you. When I grew up in Arkansas, there was a great poem that somebody used when I first came to faith and said, Jesus is the hound of heaven. And I knew hound dogs because I used to go hunting in Arkansas. I'm like, that's pretty cool. He's like chasing me down. And gets he got me treed once. Right? You got to be from Arkansas. I know what I'm talking about. And I gave my life to him. And he's chased. So that's not true. Here's the sad point of that is, if I don't speak, if I'm not the one that shares, the next time God needs somebody to speak the truth to somebody else, he might go to the person that listened to him last time. And see, that's what this scripture's talking about. If you don't steward the voice that you hear, right, then he'll give it to somebody else who will, because it has to be spoken. And that's the stewardship. God will always do it. How do you know how to steward a good word, how to be a good steward of the word? And I want to go back to the scripture in Mark chapter 4. Says this, consider carefully what you hear. He continued, with the measure you use it. I think I'm going to go to the next one. Sorry, next slide. Thank you. It's not there either. It's the one in Luke 8:15. There we go. Thank you. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart with who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. But the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts. This is the message version. Who sees the word, I love it, hold on to it no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. The way you steward God's voice in your life when you hear him is that you grab it, you retain it, you persevere with it, you stick with it, you hold on to it, you make it precious, you repeat it. And if you feel like God is speaking, you got to do something with it. You got to say something. And if you don't, right? This is biblical. If you don't, you might get eaten by a whale. It's in the Bible. God told Jonah, go speak to Nineveh. Listen to this. And it said he ran from the presence of God. Not just the voice of God. He ran from the presence of God. And he said, I won't do it. And he jumped on a ship. And guess what happened? God said, you're not going to listen to me. I'm going to change the circumstances until you do. And Jonah sank. There's no ship that you won't rock up, whale that you won't wake up coming after me, right? And then all of a sudden he gets thrown over and boom, and he gets spit up on the shore of Nineveh. And guess what? He speaks the word of God. That's the beauty of God. The beauty of God is this, is when he speaks to you and you don't listen, he's going to keep trying to speak to you and keep trying to speak to you. But the danger of this is you become numb to his voice after a while and you won't hear. And if he needs something done, guess what? He's going to go and he's going to go speak to somebody else because you're not stewarding well the voice of God. The fear is this. The fear is when you say, I think God's speaking to me. The fear is, what if I get this wrong? What if I make a mistake? And I've got some news for you. You will make a mistake and you will get it wrong. More than once in your life. It's just going to happen. And so this is what my prayer for Streams Church is. That we create a culture here in humility and grace. That we give people the permission to fail. We give people permission to come up and say, you know what, this is the way I always say it anyway. I think God may be speaking something to you from me, and this is what I think he's saying. And if that resonates with you, just take and run with it. If not, not a problem. And just, if that's something good for you, think that's going to help you out. And then my response, if somebody says that to me, I'll say, yeah, it does. And let me tell you why it does right now, because that's amazing that you said that. Or, not right now, I don't get it, but I'll hold on to that. And we'll just keep praying and see if God doesn't speak something to me later on. And that just gives us the freedom, because I want there to be freedom in our church to be able to do that, to speak to one another. And if you get it wrong, it's okay. We're gonna do that, because we're gonna cling to it. We're gonna preserve it. We're gonna write it down. We're gonna memorize it. We're gonna put a post-it note, because we want to steward well what God is speaking to our hearts. And I keep joking around about 2018 is the year of response, right? And I mean that by, so you guys say amen more and stuff like that? Amen. Amen. So, but as I was preparing this message, I really felt like the Lord was saying this to me. This is the year of responding to my voice in this church. This is the year of response where people go, you know what, I'm willing to take that risk and speak out or move out on what I think God's speaking to me. And I'm going to trust that. And we're going to have a culture where that's allowed. And we're allowing the Spirit to speak to one another and helping one another. And you know what? This is why this is so powerful. It's because when God says to you, hey, in your heart, something's prompting, write out a really encouragement card and write this scripture and send it to this person. Like that. And you send it, and it just so happens that that day they opened up their Bible in their devotions, they read that same scripture, and it dealt with something that they're going through, some hardship. And all of a sudden they get that card, and it says, I felt like the Lord wanted me to send this to you. And then they're, you know what they're doing? They're like, wow, God, you really, really care about this. You really see what's going on in my life. It's powerful. It's more powerful than any sermon I can ever preach is when God speaks a word to somebody and they connect it with somebody else and it enlightens the whole room. I don't know if you ever talked to somebody who doesn't even, is not a follower of Jesus, and you just said, I feel like I'm supposed to say this to you. And when that connects with their life and their world, it blows their mind. There is a God and He's real. And that's why the scripture says that we should be pursuing the word of prophecy amongst each other, is speaking into each other's lives. And it doesn't have to be weird. It just has to be, I feel like, you know, God wants you to know He loves you. Or I saw this, and people do this. I've been seeing a freedom lately in our church. And to me, that is wonderful. That's what the family should be about, that we're speaking encouragement and life to one another, and that God's using us to help somebody on their journey when things get rough. Year of encouragement. Okay, year of response. Can you say amen to that? Amen. That would be a good thing to have, right? Let's stand and pray. Thank you for hearing my heart today on this. I've been on a passion to see the supernatural happen in a very natural way. Like it's just supposed to be a part of our life. Not weird, just like, it's just what happens in life. So we just love on each other, we encourage one another, and we speak the word of the Lord to each other. So I just want to pray that blessing over us. Father, we just pray right now, we want to steward well your words that you speak to us. And I pray that you take away any fear, any confusion, any awkwardness about that. And that we would be people who love each other enough that we give space to even make mistakes, because we'd rather be that type of people than people that just shut it down altogether. I mean, that's my prayer. Let me be that person who gives grace for others so that we can walk together in this journey in love and in freedom. And that's my prayer. I thank you for my family, this church, that you have afforded me the opportunity and the blessing to help lead. And I pray that I'll do it in a way that will always honor you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.